Good evening, friends. My name is Di Woolley from the Florida Methodist Church. Welcome to the service this evening, this Tuesday of Holy Week. Before I continue, let's just open and be silent for a brief while. Lord, thank you that we can gather here together, that we can be part of a journey that you walk to the cross, a journey of fulfillment. We ask now, Lord, that you will open up our hearts and our minds, that we might indeed hear what you are saying to us. Amen. Tonight I want us to look at John's Gospel, chapter 12, reading from verse 23 to 36, a well-known passage where Jesus predicts his death. What does this say to us? What does this mean to us as followers of Christ? Life isn't hard because we're doing it wrong. I mean, it's been like that since Eve bit into the apple. So our lives are often painful and full of disappointment. We go through times when making it through the day requires extra willpower. Joy is hard to come by. Things just don't work out and people break their promises. The promotion you've been waiting for never comes. The family is in conflict. The lab results that you've been waiting for come back and are not good. The threat of corona hangs over our heads. So many uncertainties. But this life is not the whole story. In fact, it's not even the beginning of it, because there is so much more to come, an eternity. In the meantime, our faith can help to sustain us in a world that ranges from very bad to not so great to okay to pretty good. In the end, if we continue to trust God and listen to him, we will find that it was all worth it. That's what the hope and the promise is all about. Every choice to continue believing. Every choice to continue obeying. Every choice to continue persevering in the midst of whatever circumstances, in the midst of whatever emotional or mental state we find ourselves in. Every act of faithfulness will be rewarded. And someday, not so far from now, we will look back on the toil and the suffering and the heartache, mixed with joy, gladness, times of refreshment, and testify that it was all worth it. Good, bad, happy and sad. In today's reading, Jesus recognizes he is about to die, and he's teaching that we, like him, must embrace this moment. We cannot escape the fact that following Jesus means following him in a journey to the cross. Mark chapter 8 verse 34 says, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 10 verse 39 says, "Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it." So let me ask you, are you trying to hold on to your life? Are you trying to save it? Tonight I say to you, you cannot live for the world and for Christ. Unfortunately, you need to choose. So what does it mean to lose your life for Christ's sake? What does it mean to take up your cross? It means yielding your right to do as you please with your time, to hold things with an open hand, so that if called upon to give them up, and if presented with a choice between God and self, we step aside. Let me give you an example. For many of us, we have a full week, demanding jobs, caring for children, helping with homework, having church commitments, and sorting out the house, bills to pay. And suddenly we find a few hours on Sunday to watch some TV. We sit down and relax with a cup of coffee. The phone rings. someone has a crisis. S. Giving up this relaxing time gives us pain and disappointment. You see, friends, dying to self means guiding your conduct according to what best serves God's purpose. There is more to Christ's words than just a warning in this passage. There is also a promise. And I read verses 23 through to 26. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and it dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in the world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me." I don't know if you can maybe remember when you were young. You took a bean pod and placed it between two pieces of moist cotton wool. You looked at it every day. After a few days, you saw some roots and a plant began to grow. In the process of this growth, the bean was destroyed. And I want to say it's like that with all seeds, not just bean seeds. They need to die to be transformed. Your life can be like that grain of wheat, that kernel of corn. Your life can have a positive influence on the world, but there's just one catch. You have to die to self. You have to give up your claim on your own life, on all the things that it comprises of: time, possessions, plans, and rights. Are you willing for God to use your life in ways that you could never ever have imagined? You need to relinquish your ownership and turn it over to Him to use as He sees fit. This is not losing everything as we may think. In fact, it's gaining so much. Gaining Christ, who is worth far more than anything this world has to offer. It's gaining eternal life. Christ is giving His life, purchased eternal life for us. And like a seed falling to the ground and dying, His death resulted in untold millions of souls being saved. But God did not permit His death to be final. He raised Him from the grave and exalted Him to the highest place. In the same way, God will raise you to eternal life and everlasting honour all those who relinquish their claim on their own lives in this world in order to gain Christ. You need to relinquish. Hymn 170 says, "Oh, the bitter shame and sorrow that a time could ever be, when I let the Saviour's pity plead in vain and proudly answered, all of self and none of thee. Yet He found me, I beheld Him bleeding on the accursed tree. Heard Him pray, 'Forgive them, Father,' and my wistful heart said faintly, 'Some of self and some of thee.' Day by day His tender mercy, healing, helping, full and free, sweet and strong, and ah, so patient, brought me low while I wisted, less of self and more of thee. Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last is conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self and all of thee." Will you choose today to be among those who can say, "None of self and all of thee"? Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have heard that we must deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. To walk with you that path to the cross of victory. But Lord, it's difficult. It's tough. It's not an easy road. But Lord, as we take your hand, you say, my son, my daughter, follow me. I will lead you. I will help you across those rocky moments. I will lead you into sweet pastures. Just trust in me. And Lord, as we think of all the issues around us, may we realize that in everything you will find something good. In this time that we've been under lockdown, you've made people realize how much more that dependent they are on one another. You've allowed the birds and the fish of the sea and the animals to enjoy your nature again. Lord, help us to see that in everything you work together for the good, for those who love you. And so we ask that you will guide us and bless us, and use this time, Lord, to teach us. Amen. God bless you all through the rest of this week. May you grow through the workings of Good Friday. And when we come to Easter Sunday, when all is conquered, we can share in the victory. God bless.